mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for our meditation this morning is the first reading today from Acts. And our theme is the good news of Jesus Christ. But first I want to take a look at what is bad news. What is bad news? What do you think of first when you hear the term, "Oh, I got bad news for you"? Well, in this case today, here in the church, when we think about bad news, you got to understand that the Lord knows that you don't value His Word. The Lord knows you don't honor His Word. The Lord knows you don't keep His commandments. And the Lord knows you don't value and consider sacred that which He has given you. The many gifts, the many blessings, the relationships, and these earthly things. They are all gifts from God. And God knows that you don't look upon them with much value. But now the good news. God has given His Word, His Holy Bible, Holy Scriptures. God has given to us His words. He's spoken to us. That's good news. And God has given us preachers and teachers. He's given us many lay people. He's given us a host of workers in the church to share the good news, His Word. And He's given His Son to die for us. A death that we deserved. A death we deserve for not keeping His commandments. A death we deserve so that we could be righteous in His sight. And loving as God has been to us. A love that never gives up. And now today, I have good news. But I also have bad news. First, bad news, which of course is the law. I didn't give you a choice. That's one thing about a sermon. It's kind of neat. I got good news and bad news. And what do we generally always want to choose? I want to hear the good news. Because what are we thinking? What's the first thing that pops into our head when we think about good news and bad news? Well, the good news that we want to hear is, hey, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get some cash. I'm going to get a gift. I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to receive something. That's good news. I'm going to get a new grandchild. No, I'm not. But that's a wonderful gift, isn't it? Or the bad news, okay? What do we think? First thing pops into our head when we talk about bad news. Something's fixing to be taken away from you. First thing we think of is it's going to cost me some money. If you have children, you have lots of bad news. You're going to spend lots of money. What else can be taken from us? Loved ones. Loved ones have a terrible disease. Or could even be, sorry, but your engine in your car is no longer viable. It's done. You need a new car. So a lot of things can be bad news for us. Well, the bad news today is the law. And like I mentioned earlier, that God knows that we don't value and we don't read the Bible. Kretzmann says either in, which is really remarkable because the version of Kretzmann commentary that I own is a really old book. It's from like 1930s. And he says in there, in our time today, people either at home or anywhere else don't read the Bible. It's true then, it's true today. That's why he gave us this reading from Acts today. That's why he gave us this reading today from Acts about Philip and his eunuch. That's why he tells us this story, because what happens here? Philip goes to preach to this heathen, this Egyptian eunuch. You know what a eunuch is? It's not necessarily what you think it is. It could be that a man that's no longer a man, but a eunuch is a terrible person in the eyes of the church. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says that a eunuch cannot enter the temple of the Lord. And here is this eunuch reading the Bible. And he's reading it out loud. Now, here's some more bad news. God knows you don't read the Bible, and he knows you don't understand it either. Do you understand the Bible? Many don't even try. I can tell you with very good clarity that I know that within this church, there is not a great attendance to Bible studies. That is a fact. What do we learn in Bible studies? We learn a greater understanding of the Word of God. Now, I know some folks go to Bible studies in other places, but here at this church, we have 5 people that come on Thursday night and we have fabulous discussions. And we learn a lot and get a better understanding. Even I get a better understanding. We have a new Bible study on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock for couples. And we're getting a better understanding of our relationships through the Word of God. We have 3 couples, well, 4 if you count my wife and I. And the excuses why they don't come. The excuses why people don't come to church, the excuses why people don't come to Bible studies is this long. It is. Pastors have heard many, many an excuse why I'm not at church, why I don't have time to read the Bible. Now the really bad news, it gets worse. Many people don't have a good understanding of salvation. That's the really bad part. Because without a clear understanding of salvation, where's your hope? Where's your joy? Is there heaven? Is there hell? And which one are you going to? That question we can ask. You can be asked that question. It's a good question to ask one another. If you were to die today, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? I'm going to heaven. I know that I am. My Savior died so that my sins would be forgiven. I've been baptized and I share the sacrament. I know I'm going to heaven. I have that hope. And it's a joy. So, about your salvation, and these words of God in His Holy Scripture, are these just words? Because many people do read the Bible. Some of you do read the Bible outside of church. But is it just words that you read? And you simply say, oh yeah, God gave us this book. Or are these words of good news about Jesus Christ? And the love that God has had for you, that He sent His Son to die for you. So Luke gives us this reading in Acts today so that we can learn and understand more about the Word of God, how it works. Here is this apostle, Philip. Philip has just finished preaching to hundreds of people. Big God, he's one of the 12. Philip. No coincidence that I share a name with this guy. But Philip, he He's a big guy. He's got big responsibility. I'm preaching to hundreds of people. And the angel comes to him and says, go to this road down between Jerusalem and Gaza. It's in the desert. And so he goes. He doesn't even think about it. Scripture doesn't say, well, I don't know. Because we have stories in the Bible where, like Jonah, he was told to go and preach, and he says, I ain't doing it. When we were talking about revitalization, and that the chief and primary purpose of revitalization is sharing the love of God, telling the good news about Jesus Christ here in our community, I heard several times, nope, I ain't going out knocking on doors. But that's not all it is. But yet there is going out knocking on doors. So here's Philip. He's preaching to hundreds of people, and he's told to go preach to one person. He's told to go up to that one chariot. He goes. He doesn't even think about it, because that's what God told him to do. Sometimes God opens doors of opportunities to his ministers in places very unlikely. That's the lesson we learned here. God opens up opportunities in very unlikely places. Look at Philip in the book of Acts. In the desert, in a desolate, vacated place. Nobody's around. This is where he's sent to evangelize. Look at the community we have here. It's a great community. It's a peaceful community. It's quiet here. Yet there's evangelism necessary to be done here. So Philip goes out and he finds this eunuch who's reading the Bible out loud. Now, who found who here? Who found who? Did Philip find the eunuch, or did the eunuch find Philip? Or did God find both of them? And did God teach both of them about his word? Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 13, verse 51, he says, if they understood all these things he spoke of, if they understood all these things that he spoke of. See, it's important to understand scriptures. What did the eunuch say? Because that was the icebreaker that Philip used to talk to the eunuch. He says, do you understand what you're reading? He didn't slam. He didn't disrespect him. He just asked him a legitimate question. Do you understand what it is you're reading there? And the eunuch said, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. Here is this eunuch, a powerful, respected person in his country. He's got a wealth of power. He's in charge of their treasury and the money things for the queen there. And he's still humble enough to ask for understanding. Those that would learn, those of us that would learn more about the scriptures of God, must see the need to be taught. Regardless of our station in life, regardless of what we've been doing or what we have learned or what we have taught, there's room, and I can tell you, it's even me, I learn much every time I open a book. Every time I open a Bible, I learn something wonderful. And we learn about God's greatest command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says in our gospel lesson today, he said, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. This is good news. You are already clean because of what Jesus has spoken to you. You are clean. Your sins are already gone because of the absolution that you heard a moment ago. Instead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You heard those words, your sins are forgiven. And in just a few moments, we're going to join one another here at the altar of the Lord, and we're going to partake of the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. This is good news. And to keep this good news alive in you, Jesus tells us how to do that. He tells us in our gospel lesson today how to keep this alive in us today. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That's not difficult. I don't believe that's difficult to understand there. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is what we are attached to. We abide in him and he's in us. Without him, we're nothing. We're those branches that fall to the earth and brown and wither. And then they're gathered up and thrown into the fire. And the Apostle John helps us keep God's holy word with our epistle lesson today. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, he says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's good news. That's wonderful news that Jesus loves me and he loves you. Right up to and including everlasting peace in paradise forever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.